Robin McCarron. Jeff Hawkins.
Is it? Can it be? It is! The phenomenal one is here! AJ Styles!
Oh my gosh!
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
It has been rumored for weeks that the hottest free agent in sports entertainment was heading to WWE. Styles is here!
I'm walking, yes indeed, and I'm talking about you and me, and I'm hoping that you'll come back to me. R.I.P. to the late, great Fats Domino. Today on Shake Them Ropes, Nia Jax is walking, Enzo ain't talking, and it's a blue Monday for the Raw crew. Here, as always, your host, Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jeff. At Shake Them Ropes on Twitter, at CrapGame13 for Jeff. Jeff, what do you have to say about how balls hot it is?
Oh, God, it's triple digits. In the end of October, this is ridiculous. This is just wrong on so many levels.
I mean, it's almost Halloween.
I'm ready for fall. That 2 weeks that we get here in Los Angeles.
That's right. Autumn is coming.
And what? I think we get a day of winter.
Are you like liquefying yourself? Do you have liquids nearby? Is that what you just did there?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's 100 degrees out there.
I had to turn off my air conditioning because otherwise...
I know, you have to turn off your... I force you to turn off your air. I'm very demanding when we record this show, so I force you to turn off your air in 100-degree weather. It's only 5 o'clock where you are recording. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's nighttime and it's going to cool down anytime soon.
No. It's cooler. You know where it's cooler, actually? Chavez Ravine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Game 2. Game 2 starting now. So, you know what? Game 2's on. Let's go. Bye. Can't do that. Speaking of bye... Jeff Jarrett was canned from Anthem, and I don't know all the details, just that Jeff Jarrett was fired, and I can't imagine. I mean, who do you think you are if you're Anthem that you're cutting Jeff Jarrett loose? I can't imagine anything that would cause them to get rid of Jeff Jarrett. I mean, what the hell did this guy do to possibly get kicked out of TNA?
Close personal friend of Rob McCarron.
That's right.
Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett is a close personal friend. Got him on the speed dial. Should call him. Should find out what the hell's going on. Ugh. Drunk. Come on now. Dude's a legend. Yeah.
Did you read the Sports Illustrated article on Nia Jax?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Nia Jax, shall we?
Just a little bit. I'm torn on this.
Okay. Why?
Because I can go... Three different ways.
All right, let's give backstory first, and then you go your three different ways. Speaking of three different ways, by the way, three different ways this has been reported since Nia Jax left. It's insane. You know, first rumors out there, a WWE superstar walked out before Raw, unhappy with their push or their booking. We find out it's Nia Jax. So the first wave of stories, Nia Jax unhappy with how she's presented, so she leaves. And then you got Alexa Bliss coming out there doing a public interview, as you would do. I mean, if you're a WWE superstar, you're not going to let backstage gossip out in a public interview, even if it's right. Alexa Bliss comes out here in an interview and says, Nia's beat up. She's banged up. You know, she took that wacky power bomb at No Mercy. She's got a bad back. She needs time to heal. Yeah, it's okay. She's going home for a little bit. That's fine. What was funny about that, though, is the reporters out there saying Alexa Bliss confirms reason that Nia Jax is leaving. As if that's any type of confirmation. And then today, SI, Nia Jax says that she called The Rock for advice. She was unhappy that she was scheduled to lose at TLC against Sasha Banks, and she walked out. She's taking a break.
I will never deny any individual the chance to better their life with their employer, especially this employer. And I don't knock the hustle.
I mean, you got recent experience along with this.
Yeah, I negotiate a rather hefty raise for myself. I'm very, very
happy.
You
being a negotiating superstar.
No, actually, it was pay me or I leave. They chose to pay me.
Wow. And you weren't expecting that, were you?
I kind of was because I really It was a semi bluff on my part because I wasn't going to take this offer because it was just too much. It was more work than I wanted.
You would have had to do more podcasts with me.
No, I like doing. No, I actually enjoy doing podcasts with you. I don't enjoy my day job. And what they were basically telling me was, you're going to do more work.
More work, yay!
We're going to give you more of a. We're going to give you a bump in pay, but we're not going to pay you overtime. So we get to work you as long as we want for that bump. And I just went, that doesn't sound right to me. So I kind of negotiated my base up at my place, and I can get overtime should I want it. But anywho, that's one tact I can take. The other tact, I look at this and I go, you know, Nia's out kicking her coverage in terms of her push to, let's say, talent ratio to me. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, I don't want to say she has a big head. I don't think she does. I just think she's trying to protect herself. And then there's that third part of me that just goes, why isn't Sasha or Bayley just walking out after the way they've been treated? Because those are the talented people that I want to fight for themselves, and they don't. And it's just it's one of those things where I'm torn on all three, because you can't criticize Nia for a move like that. But at the same time, you're just like, it's Nia. You know, it's that kind of duplicity for me, or not duplicity, but duality for me.
She hadn't been up here for that long. I mean, she's somewhat new to the whole main roster thing. She hasn't built up her star level yet. And she also hasn't had a chance to not get pushed. You know what I mean? I mean, she's been presented as a strong monster. Now she loses the big matches. That's okay. But before this whole walkout, I thought she was next for Asuka. I thought she was going to be the intermediary between Asuka and Alexa. Because I don't, Asuka's not getting it.
Let me ask you an important question. Do you believe the article? Because SI is kind of co-opted in a way, so maybe it was spun, to get a little bit of buzz there. You can always, have your hat of skepticism on, although you're not a big hat.
No, I mean, I wear them, because that's what you do with hats. So this article, Nia Jax asked for advice, and in this article, The Rock told her to do what makes you happy. If you're not happy there, leave, take some time to rest. It could be a mix of both. She might be banged up. She might be hurting. That might've added to the frustration on why she's not in a big push in this card. I mean, the pre-show, imagine if she wasn't even on the pre-show, how mad she would have been if she wasn't even scheduled to be on it. Maybe she wanted to be on this main pay-per-view card. After all, it's the last Raw card, the last Raw pay-per-view until February of next year. So there weren't that many chances in the next few months to make a little bit of money here. And there's still time. She could be added to Team Raw on the Survivor Series women's match. She could still be on this pay-per-view. She is tweeting again. She's tweeting at the SmackDown women. She's tweeting out storyline stuff. So I don't think her absence is going to be very long. But that also adds credence to the fact that it probably wasn't just due to that back injury, and that it was due to some frustration she was having. And she'll be welcomed back, and we'll see how her attitude goes from here. I feel, I've told you this on the show, I've told you this privately too, I feel like she is a very important person in that division for the next several years, because I believe that she could be both this strong mega heel that they like the bigger people to be, but also she could be a big show type, and maybe even more important in the women's division, a big show type babyface where the crowd rallies behind her. I feel she could be a better Bayley than Bayley has been on the main roster, where people just like her because she's likable, and maybe they play the weight stuff into something here in the future as a negative, which they tend to do. I mean, God, they did it with Mickie James, and Mickie James is 1/4 the size of Nia Jax. Okay. And they played weight stuff. That's what WWE does. And if they do that with Nia, I hope they don't, but if they do, I feel like it's going to make her more of a babyface than it would anyone else on the roster. So I feel like she could be important. Is she going to be the biggest star in the women's division? No. Is she overplaying her hand if she were to walk away from WWE expecting them to give her more of a push? That would probably be the wrong play. And there aren't that many options outside of WWE for the women's superstars yet. That might come in the next decade or so, but it's not there right now. It's not like a male superstar leaving WWE who could go to New Japan, Ring of Honor, wrestling in the UK, wrestling in Australia, wrestling in TNA, whatever. There's more limited options for the women. But yes, I believe that's why she left. And I believe she'll be coming back. And I think she'll be in this 5-on-5 match at Survivor Series.
I do as well. Okay. Staying in the women's division on Raw, the follow-up to Asuka on Monday night. What's your verdict?
I mean, this Asuka keeps getting better. It took her 15 minutes to beat Emma in NXT. It took her 9 minutes on this pay-per-view, and then it took her 7 minutes on Raw. I mean, Asuka is more and more dominant. She is undefeated. She's 2-0 now. She's won more matches in the women's division than any other woman on the Raw roster in the last week. So, yes, Asuka so far for the win. Now, what's interesting is you have this 5-on-5 match with both. You're going to have the champions go up against each other, Alexa Bliss and Natalya. And then you're going to have this 5-on-5. Will Alicia Fox recruit Asuka? Will Asuka maybe get a pre-show match on that show? Will she get a singles match? A singles match on the main card? Not super likely, but she could be the ace in the hole for Team Raw. She could be that ace, and that would be presenting her as something special. So, I mean, the debut week has gone through. It was solid. I feel like there's a lot more opportunity to make her an even bigger deal here in the future, now that you have it established that, hey, she's a winner.
I'm going to disagree, only because I think, again, they made the mistake of making the story of the match how good Emma was looking in the match.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that, too. I mean, if you want to come at me and say that this isn't about Emma and Asuka, it's about just Asuka. I mean, I get it. Okay.
That's my take.
But if you promote Emma as this bigger, what do great managers always get the credit of doing? Great managers always get the credit, and great babyfaces for that matter. Great managers always get the credit of putting over the opponent so that when their guy beats them, their guy looks even better. So why is it a reversal here? When WWE makes Emma look good and they try to make Asuka even better for having won the match, that people shit on it.
Because it's her debut. And it should be special. And if it's not special, with the casual audience, I mean, we're looking through this through the eyes of wrestling fans rather than WWE fans.
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
You are, because you said it was a great match, and yeah, again,
it's fantastic. People liked it.
People don't care about a great match unless there's stakes to it, and unless they're involved in the character. So you get them involved in the character first, and then you give them the great match, not the other way around.
I mean, I get it. It was no Melina versus Alicia Fox, but Melina's gone. She's not there anymore.
Hey. Alicia Fox is captaining this Raw team, and I see that's the other thing, is I think they're going to keep Asuka off this Raw team possibly, because I think they're going to lose because of Alicia Fox's crazy.
Well, this is the funny thing I wanted to talk to you about, this whole captaining thing and how they were fighting for captains. Okay. There's five ridiculous women in that division. It's not
ridiculous.
It's not like Alicia Fox is going to leave Sasha and Bayley off of there. I mean, they have no one else. You're all going to be on the same team. This isn't a war games where the captain gets to decide who goes in first. You're all in the match. So unless they do add Asuka, unless they add, who else is there on the Raw side? It's going to be Mickey James.
Paige.
It's going to be, well, maybe. Maybe, but is she that close? Is she that close to coming back for this 4-on-4 or this 5-on-5?
I had one of my better Twitter jokes, I thought, this week, based on, I'm hoping that and Alicia Fox could. Yes, I do.
Okay, go.
Because I want Alicia Fox to pick her own team, and I want it to be a team of Dana Brooke,
mm-hmm.
Little Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
a box of crackers,
mm-hmm.
and Newton's second law of motion.
Okay, yeah. that was, folks, for those who may have missed it, that was one of his better Twitter jokes.
Yeah.
I gotcha. No, it was funny. I'm laughing.
You can no sell it all you want. All
right.
You're the only funny one on the show. I get it.
Oh, God, no. Oh, then this show's in trouble. If I'm the only funny one. Team Raw right now, as we go into the Survivor Series, because most of the card is already announced. I mean, here we are in October still. And the very next night after TLC, most of the card gets announced for Survivor Series. We have Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, women's 5-on-5. Alicia Fox is the team captain, the only one announced for Raw, but we have the entire SmackDown team now. Becky Lynch captaining with Charlotte, Naomi, Carmella, and Tamina as the five going up against Team Raw. And that's why I think Nia Jax fits in, because I think you're going to get something with Nia Jax and Tamina in that ring.
Yes. Oh, definitely. You're getting the big woman stare down. But yeah. I think the SmackDown team's changing.
Okay, so you think that's going to change? And that's what I wanted to say, too, in the podcast description, which I already read. Hey, look at me doing work before this show, by the way. I have the entire
show prep. Amazing.
I did show prep. I did the VOW post. The only thing I have to add now is the MP3 when this is done. I mean, it's going up right after this show. I already have the show preview written out. And this is one of the questions that I wrote down on there. Or not even a question. But we aren't talking the Survivor Series card. We are talking the first draft of the Survivor Series card, because I don't think it's going to look in 3 weeks how it looks right now. And this could very well be one of those areas where it doesn't look exactly the same. Now, it will change, obviously, on the Raw side. So if we're thinking, forget, for example, that SmackDown may change here. If we're looking at Team Raw, we have Alicia Fox confirmed. I think Nia Jax is going to be in it. So who are the other three? Is it Bayley, Sasha, and Mickey? Are we going to get a Paige? Are we going to get someone else, a Dana Brooke, a Summer Rae? I mean, right now, it seems like you don't have that many people to choose from.
Oh, I know. I tend to think they'll go straight and say Bayley, Sasha, and Mickey, but I could see Asuka being put in here.
Yeah.
But
I mean, she's got to be on the show. You can't debut her on TLC and have Raw matches and then completely forget her.
Oh, sure you can if you've lost faith her already.
Well, they have not. They haven't lost faith in her.
I know. I'm kidding.
That's silliness. But maybe you give her a singles match. Now, would that hurt Asuka if she's put in a pre-show singles match? Because you don't have that much room on the show anymore. You don't have a lot of room. And those 5-on-5 matches are going for quite a while. That's going to take up an hour of pay-per-view time right there.
Well, Rob, she could do a 20-minute Broadway with Emma, and it'd be a great match, and you'd come on here and say it was great.
Oh, that's right. We don't even have Emma. Maybe Alicia Fox just goes full-on heel team, and she chooses Emma as a teammate. She chooses Nia Jax, and you have Alicia, and then you go with Dana and Summer Rae. They could all be a heel team. Is Dana even a heel right now? Why not? I mean, I'm just trying to fake it. I'm just trying to fake a heel here.
Oh, and the story is they shut out Sasha and Bayley.
They shut out.
That would be interesting.
I mean, that would actually play into the whole idea of the team captain position, right?
That would be very, very interesting if they did that, I think. I mean, it would be suicide for the card, but at least story-wise, it would make sense. Yeah.
It could be interesting if maybe they make Bayley and Sasha Banks wrestle, and the winner gets on the team, and then you maybe do Emma versus Sasha Banks, and you put Asuka in the 5-on-5. You can do Emma and Sasha in a pre-show.
Yeah, there's plenty of options. I think the change is going to come on the SmackDown side, though.
It's hilarious that Nia Jax would be the one walking out if Sasha Banks gets booked on two consecutive pre-shows against Alicia Fox and Emma. How would you feel if you were Sasha Banks? Maybe she'll call a famous uncle and ask for advice.
Well, I don't know if you want that advice necessarily.
Man, smoke weed, get out of there. That was my Snoop Dogg impression. That was my limited Snoop Dogg.
You can reach Rob at Shake Them Ropes, all one word.
At Shake Them Ropes on the Twitter. Failed to get verified again, man.
Oh, did you apply?
Unbelievable. I actually have applied twice. One was like 2 years ago when they first let you to apply, and I didn't like have any links, and I didn't put anything in there. Like, I was just testing it out. And then I actually applied this time. I'm like, come on. Come on, verify me. Verify fucking some of these people that are ridiculous. They aren't doing 15,000 downloads a week on their podcast. They don't got Blue Apron sponsorship.
Yeah, none of you vouched for me for a Hall of Fame ballot this year, so I don't want to hear it.
Oh, man, and I didn't even send one in. Again, second year in a row. I get one and I just throw it out. I should give it to Deadspin.
You can give it to me.
I could give it to you. I should just do a Twitter poll. Like, do you want any of these people to get in? And I'll just vote whatever the people say. Maybe next year when I get it. We have Team Raw versus Team SmackDown men's 5-on-5.
Hold on, you want to hear the change in the SmackDown team?
Oh yeah, sure. Who do you think is going to be changing in there?
I think Natty's going on the team. I think Charlotte's going to face Alexa.
Okay, do we have a Charlotte versus Natalya title match plan soon?
No, but you can always do it on TV.
Okay. All right. I can see something like that. I mean, Natalya versus Alexa is a weird match to have.
Yeah, and also I think in the promo for it, they show Alexa and Charlotte. So they're just going to go straight ahead.
Fantastic. You also have to kind of kick it into gear here again with the Charlotte Flair title reigns if we're going to get to the 16-time match being at WrestleMania in 2020. Yeah. You got to start kicking in some pay-per-view, some title changes here for Charlotte.
I'm actually looking at my possible itinerary for New Orleans, and I'm pondering not going, to be honest.
To New Orleans entirely?
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't. Mm. Stay home. Do something else. Do a Royal Rumble trip or something. Do a pay-per-view that you might enjoy a little bit more if you want to make a wrestling trip happen.
The problem was Royal Rumble sold out real quick.
That's right. It's in Philly too, right?
Yeah, it's a smaller arena, so it sold out quick.
Yeah, a lot of people wanted to get to Philly to see Roman Reigns win again.
Came very close to booking a trip for War Games.
Oh, yeah, because War Games is happening soon.
Go ahead with this.
I was thinking. They announced Adam Cole versus Drew McIntyre for the night before NXT TakeOver War Games at a house show in San Antonio with Shawn Michaels as the special ref. That is a show that is going up against Ring of Honor in the same city. If you were thinking about choosing between the two shows, and that's kind of a match that might tilt the scales towards NXT. I mean, Adam Cole, singles match, Drew McIntyre, and then you get Shawn Michaels' appearance. It's a pretty cool match to have booked instead of going to see Cody Rhodes in a 6-man tag again with everyone doing the same moves they've done for 2 years. Team Raw, Team SmackDown. Randy Orton is announced for the 5-on-5. He beat Sami Zayn in the main event. Pretty good main event of SmackDown this week.
Fantastic main event.
Yeah, pretty good.
Sami Zayn.
He's awesome.
Bumping as a heel.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh my goodness, I loved it. I loved everything about Sami Zayn on this show. Breaking Shane McMahon's personal space. You know, the kind of the giving in, oh, sure, we'll represent you. I still think Owens and Zayn end up on this team.
They have to. I mean, what else are they going to do? They have to way end up on this team, unless they're going to do a tag match against two guys from Raw. But who do you do? You have the tag team champions going up against each other, and it would be a stretch right now to have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens go up against two random guys from Raw.
Oh, Sasha and Bayley.
Okay. Yeah, that fits. It fits.
Well, we have two matches for next week announced. Yeah. So
Kevin Owens going up against Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode.
Yeah.
2 out of 3 falls against Dolph Ziggler. So you have that to look forward to, everybody. And then one of those guys will probably, I mean, I would assume Bobby Roode gets on the team, but yeah, you can't really assume much.
I think it's going to be Roode, Nakamura, and Orton. And then they add Zayn and Owens, I think.
So what happens with AJ Styles? Does AJ Styles go up against another member of Raw in a singles, like, special attraction singles match? Because right now he's feuding with Jinder Mahal still. All these guys going up to Survivor Series. What does AJ Styles do? Someone's getting left out of this pay-per-view.
Yeah, rematch with Finn because of the way they did that on Raw. Jeez Louise.
I mean, Finn Balor getting destroyed by Kane for no reason.
That makes no sense after the great match on Sunday.
And it was just a random match.
Especially when they say it was a match of the year. Well, unless, I mean, let me put this to you. Are they going to do a terrible angle where he can only win big matches as the Demon King, even though he just beat Bray as a man? I mean, that's just, I don't get it. I don't get why you needed to heat up Kane by beating Finn.
Yeah, it's very strange, because if you were going to heat up Kane to face Braun Strowman, then why not beat a bigger dude? Why not wrestle one man? Well, Big Show's out for a while, but what about Gallows? Wrestle Luke Gallows in a one-on-one.
Sure.
You can have Luke Gallows. Yeah, you can have him lose. I mean, wrestle someone big. Wrestle Matt Hardy. Take out Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy, he's not good for anything right now other than losing singles matches.
I agree.
It was very strange seeing that match take place at all. Like, I'm seeing Finn Balor come to the ring and then Kane's on the other side. I'm like, what's happening here? Like, did I stumble upon some alternate universe?
Oh, trust me. That entire Raw had me questioning things all night. I mean, the invasion angle is up until the moment where Daniel Bryan questioned Shane McMahon. It was absolutely preposterous to me.
That may have been the best part. That Daniel Bryan was a little disappointed with Shane. He's questioning, like, what are you doing? I mean, you were just suspended by your dad. You're getting beat up by Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. You were taken out for 2 weeks because you were a wrestler. And now it seems like, and this is actually kind of a cool story. like if Shane McMahon was leading this group because he's so insecure about himself right now because he got beat up by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, that he's just like, he's just going crazy. Like he's going Vince McMahon. He's going nuts. That would be a cool angle.
I'll take that if they would have taken the care to do that. If they would have taken the care to say, hey, these people on SmackDown are upset because you keep calling this the A show all the time, and you always are. I mean, if you made the office politics that they think they're playing actually real and mean something, cool. But what they did was they eschewed all notion of face heel dynamic here, and your most likable people were the ones leading the charge here. The New Day and Shane McMahon. Are you kidding me with that? They come off as jerks here. I mean, it's just so over laundry. And then you know, Baron Corbin's all of a sudden a joiner with the Lone Wolf gimmick.
Lone Wolf, I mean, Baron Corbin.
What? Yeah, the Lone Wolf Baron Corbin who has brand loyalty because of a T-shirt. You know, there are ways to tell these kinds of stories, and they never. I mean, this is the way I compared it was it's a corporation that thinks accounting and human resources has a beef with one another, so they put on a game at the picnic or something, thinking that everybody's going to be into it.
And a lot of it is about timing too, because you know what would have made that whole thing like reasonable and maybe even super entertaining is if they did it at the pay-per-view instead of, okay, Survivor Series is what we're focused on now. Kurt Angle goes out there and announces all the matches, and then Shane's just, you know, there because that's the pay-per-view cycle that we're on. So SmackDown shows up. If it happened on Raw and you're like, okay, this is really kicking it going, Survivor Series is next, and that's going to be why this all stuff happens. But no, it's just bragging rights time. It's just Survivor Series time. So SmackDown must show up. Bragging rights.
No, and you could have even used the AJ Styles thing. AJ Styles is being borrowed for another night, so all of a sudden Shane's there, but nobody knows why. And how'd he get into the building? Oh, AJ Styles let him in. He's the mole, you know? There's plenty of stuff they could have done, except now it's the one night a year where SmackDown Live and Raw Superstars are. It's like, oh, you know, it's just the lame branding of it as opposed to depth of story to me. And I know that there are guys chomping at the bit to write a decent angle for this. Well, they can't. So
I mean, if you're Shane McMahon, you obviously plan this a little bit ahead of time. You had to get all the SmackDown guys there to the Raw show, right? So
not
why
all of them. Just the B team.
Well, that's another thing. No Jinder Mahal. No Jinder Mahal was there. Who else was missing? No, Sami Zayn, no, and Kevin Owens were missing, which actually
Kevin
makes,
Owens, yep, Sami no. Zayn, Randy Orton, right. Charlotte.
And of course, three of the guys who aren't there might be in this 5-on-5 with Owens, Zayn, and Orton. Three guys that, not necessarily Orton, but Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens hate Shane, and they don't care about this SmackDown bullshit. Like they want SmackDown to be their show. So what sense would that make if they are on this pay-per-view match?
Exactly. Why are they fighting for? Why don't they just walk out?
But if you're Shane McMahon and you planned all this ahead, now I think they did a good job, because I believe in some of those backstage segments, they made it clear that Daniel Bryan was the one who sent AJ Styles over, and Daniel Bryan wasn't really in on this, because it wouldn't have made any sense if Shane McMahon had sent AJ over if he wasn't some type of mole. Like, oh, we're going to take down this brand. We hate them, but yeah, we're going to give them one of our top guys.
Yeah.
For two shows, not just one show, two shows. So that
you could even tie in. If you were really big on continuity, you could have tied in the whole John Cena Undertaker deal where they both were on SmackDown to help promote that brand, and now everybody's kind of bitter because Raw just comes in and takes them anytime they like. I mean, that would have been kind of cool too, I think.
The actual best part of that segment was the end with Kurt Angle just looking like, I mean, Shane McMahon got one over on me. I am stunned by what has happened here. I don't know what to do, gingerly
held by the arm.
Well, that was ridiculous. That whole thing was ridiculous. You had Kurt Angle as a badass the night before at TLC. And now he's being held with one hand on each arm by Rusev and Baron Corbin, where if you were actually wanting Kurt Angle, this is what told you that they don't have any plans for Kurt Angle to wrestle again anytime soon, is because if Kurt Angle was going to be a wrestler, he would have thrown a punch on somebody, but no, he just took it. He just stood there. He was walked gingerly up the ramp. It reminded me, honestly, of Survivor Series 15 years ago when Freddie Blassie was given the pep talk to the WWE team, and like he gets up off his wheelchair. That's what Kurt Angle reminded me of.
That's a good call. I think for me, another interesting aspect of the way this program is being formed is, I guess, that rumored horsewomen match ain't happening.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not happening at Survivor Series. That was never going to happen. I mean,
I thought it was. I thought it was going to then lead to the Mania build. But,
no, they're earmarking anything with Rousey to be WrestleMania and WrestleMania only. Mm. Yeah, that was never going to happen at Survivor Series. But we'll see how they get there. We'll see how anyone gets to anywhere. Team SmackDown, Randy Orton. If you had to place a bet right now, do you think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are in it? Like, if you had to put money down, is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And Team Raw, who knows? I mean, Braun Strowman and Kane will probably have their one-on-one, which is going to be weird because that might be the only match that is brand versus the same brand if they actually go and wrestle each other. What I would like to have, honestly, why not do it? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman and Kane. Make them tag team partners again. Everyone's fighting everybody.
Sure, why not? I mean, I'll why take the that. Hell? I mean, although you know what? There's part of me that thinks it's going to be, you know, Shinsuke. It's because of the way they did it. Shinsuke, Orton, Rude, and then the New Day.
Yeah, two members of the New Day. Yep, sure.
Since they're not. Yeah,
that very well could be it. A match that when I saw this one was announced, I'm like, okay, this is the first draft. Miz, Baron Corbin, one-on-one.
Jeez Louise. I mean, who do you take out of that one? Do you do Miz and AJ Styles, I guess? That's where AJ.
But again, with AJ doing this whole Jinder Mahal thing that seems to be going on for a couple of weeks, because I think we're going to get AJ and Jinder in a title match before the Brock match. That'll be a SmackDown title match on television. So there's not a lot of time to get AJ Styles the U.S. championship. There's not a lot of time for almost anyone. And Baron Corbin right now is wrestling Sin Cara, of all people. I mean, could we get Sin Cara winning the championship?
No.
You never know.
That's just a weird, that's your weird, oh, they can heat people up at any time type of thing. And nobody, that Milwaukee crowd was chanting for Baron Corbin to hit him again with the end of days outside. So you're just like,
well, it is Milwaukee and they are just nuts.
Brewer fans, all of them. It's weird. I don't know. I mean, I could really see them for some reason putting AJ in against Brock. I loved that Heyman promo because it made sense to me, but there's no way they're gonna do anything with Jinder prior to the India tour. There's no way.
We'll get to this match in a second. Let's go up and down this card. We've talked about Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, both genders. We've talked about Intercontinental versus U.S. Champion. All these non-title matches, by the way. There's no title on the line on this show.
We're missing the main event of this program, which is obviously going to be Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation.
I think he actually did it on 205 Live.
Oh, did he?
I believe he did.
Because he was the one awesome thing about that pre-show on Sunday. I loved that entire thing where he just decides, here's where I'm going to make my stand. And I owe a deep, deep apology to Drew Gulak. I never thought he would be this entertaining on the WWE roster. I always found him boring in PWG. I found him boring in Evolve. I didn't like the catch point gimmick at all, but this thing is magic for him. And him being Enzo's spokesperson Monday. Loved it.
Some bands are better in small rooms. Some bands are better in big rooms. It's the same thing with pro wrestling. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, tag team champions going up against the Usos. That'll be a fun one. That probably would be the match of the night.
Gimme.
Yeah.
I want to see promo battles between these two. I think that would be fantastic.
Oh, that's a big one. Another non-title match, of course. Very interesting to see who gets the wins in all these matches, though. Like, well, because I could see Team Raw winning every single one of these matches. Like, Intercontinental Champion, you put The Miz over Baron Corbin, whoever, you know, say it is Sin Cara, or say it is AJ Styles, The Miz going over. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, they're going over. Alexa Bliss, she's not losing to Natalya. Maybe could lose to Charlotte if Charlotte ends up in that match. And then Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal, that's the tough one. Do they give us a winner in this one? Does Brock Lesnar defeat Jinder Mahal? Does Jinder Mahal somehow get some type of fluke win? Because after all, it is Brock Lesnar. But Brock don't lose, usually, unless it's to a Triple H type.
How about this? How about Raw wins all the matches, with the exception of that Jinder match? Jinder wins by count out or DQ.
Yeah, and especially if it's the main event. I mean, that's why I don't really know if it will be the main event. They could do Team Raw versus Team SmackDown as the main event of that show. If you're going to do something with Undertaker, maybe Undertaker, you know, appears on this, but it's been many years now where people thought Undertaker would start his WrestleMania program at Survivor Series, and it hasn't happened. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen this year either. Just a very interesting. Maybe Roman Reigns makes his return on the show. Maybe they don't bring him back until actual Survivor Series, and he makes this play for Brock Lesnar. And that's the end of your Shield. I mean, at this point, do you believe the Shield is over for the time being?
No.
Because they don't have anything to do together right now. I mean, Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins are the tag team in it.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on Roman's health, I think.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much that's exactly right. Just, I don't know. Maybe he's healthy tomorrow and they still wait a little bit. Maybe they have an idea for him. Oh, it's just a very interesting Survivor Series card right now. But yes, I believe it will change. I do want to take a brief moment to enlighten you on some breaking news. It has just aired on NXT TV. Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss are pretty much in title contention.
Who'd they lose to?
They defeated Oney Lorcan and I believe Danny Burch.
What?
Yes. They are victorious. What?
They built up Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch for that long to have them lose to the...
Yes.
To the Team McCarron.
Oh, is that their tag team name?
That's what I'm calling.
That'd be fantastic. I wonder what they would name.
I know you're a big Riddick Moss fan.
I was from 2 years ago when I was there live and he wrestled Chad Gable in a pre-show match and a takeover. It was fantastic. It was one of the best matches on the show.
Crowd turned on you. I remember that.
Oh my God. Riddick Moss, Chad Gable. Chad Gable won that match. But yes, Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli, they are a tag team. Right now, they do not have a cool tag team name. Jeff, I want you to give me three tag team names that are possibilities for Riddick Moss and Tino Sabatelli. You have 5 seconds. Go.
Sabamossi. Tino Riddick and Team Discovery Channel.
Team Discovery Channel. See, I'm thinking you had that one in mind and you were struggling for the other two, just waiting to get to your third one.
Well, it's a Simpsons reference. So is that's it now? Yes, it is.
And the Simpsons are what?
It's a television program at 8 p.m. on the Fox Television Network.
I'll check it out. Sounds interesting. I'm not into
you can watch it in between your episodes of This Is Us.
I'm not into a lot of new television shows though, so I probably won't give The Simpsons a shot. Like I just don't watch new shows. Like it's usually older shows that I get into. So, as long as it's not a cartoon, because I freaking hate cartoons.
Well, it's a cartoon.
Oh, damn it. Jeff Jarrett, where does he play into Survivor Series?
Did you want an answer to that, or was that the end of the show?
I'm interested. I mean, I'm thinking of all the reasons why he could possibly have been fired from TNA, and I have none. None are coming to mind. He wants to go to WWE.
Oh no, he's gonna show up at the new Evolve.
Evolve. It is funny how Evolve, like Gabe's gotten to the point where like his big major announcements on Evolve are just WWE guys are coming to watch our show. William Regal is coming to watch the show. Norman Smiley is coming to watch the show. Sami Zayn is coming to watch the show.
Nah.
Matt Riddle's gone. Matt Riddle doing his Matt Riddle things. Evolve's in an interesting period right now.
What? Okay. I didn't know Matt Riddle had left, to be honest with you. I knew Ethan Page was gone.
Ethan Page is gone? Yeah, they took that belt off Matt Riddle quick after the Flow Slam stuff. Flow Slam was what was paying Matt Riddle's bills.
Riddle, that's an interesting thing, since he's not going to be in the New Japan Tag League or whatever.
No one knows what the hell's going on with Riddle. I mean, the guy books himself to 3 shows a night. Mm-hmm. You don't know until the day of what show he's actually going to show up at.
I like him. It's just one of those things.
Oh, this Kane election. Here I was thinking that Kane's mayoral election was set for like next month. You know, November.
No.
It's like a year away.
I think there's a runoff and then it goes down to two.
There's a primary in like May and then the election. And right now he's top three in his party, but the guy might not survive the primaries. There are more popular candidates.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to be like him versus someone else in a buried alive match and he might take it, but no. Mm-mm. Not happening.
What are your thoughts the past two nights, meaning Monday and Sunday, not last night?
Right, because last night the Dodgers came to play.
Loved them.
Anyway, Monday, Sunday, what you got for me?
Booker T.
Yeah, I mean, Booker T was awful.
It's very odd because I get you saying that, and I tend to agree with you in many ways, even though I find him occasionally humorous in his. Well, and is just off the reservation, so to speak.
To me, Booker T is never great, but like he's entertaining. He's fun. He's fun to have out there. He's a different kind of fun than Jerry Lawler was, or a different kind of commentary than Jerry Lawler was. Because Jerry Lawler,
he's a wild card. Yeah. He's an absolute wild card
but
out there.
Lawler would say a lot of cringeworthy things, and Booker T doesn't do that to me usually.
Oh, see, I just don't think he knows. I think he thinks I need to say something entertaining right now.
Yeah.
So any kind of not credibility, but consistency in terms of am I a heel or a face goes out the window. Now, Sean Ross Sapp, friend of the show, loves Booker T because he's an agent of chaos out there.
And he is that.
Anything that will shake up this kind of format gets him going, and he loves it. There are times where Booker will say something, and they're trying to get him on track because both Cole and Graves know what they're going to say, and it kind of devolves into arguing, which takes away from the match, and that distracts me personally. I'm trying to watch a match and I'm hearing them like go over like semantic arguments that Booker T will not lose an argument on the air, which which it's like just give up and go on, move on with your lives, guys. You're not going to do this one. I just wanted to know your opinion of it, because I tend to agree that I'm not a fan of it, but I understand why people are a fan of it.
He's got the right philosophy. Never lose an argument.
Yeah.
I don't care if you realize you're on the wrong side. Never lose. I mean, I don't subscribe to that philosophy. I just have the good fortune of always being right. But if you are in an argument, do not give up your ground. Stay there. He's been interesting. The last two nights, though, something was different. Something was screaming, like, just end it. End it now. He was flip-flopping a lot, too, because of what you said about these arguments. Like, he wanted to be on the right side. It was really weird. I noticed a change in the last 2 days. It was not pleasant. It was not pleasant at all. But I'm usually okay with him. I mean, he's much better than David Otunga. I can't stand David Otunga out there.
It's a low bar.
It is a low bar. He's, I don't know if it's a low talker or a different volume or whatever it is with David Otunga, but even though I don't like him, like, it's not even all him. It's just, he doesn't sound like he's part of the team. It's like two guys are calling it live and he's in the studio. Yeah.
He's afraid to say anything. So he just says the most banal points and everybody's just kind of like, all right, moving on.
Yeah. It's really weird.
As opposed to like I love Byron Saxton now. I don't know what it is. I find his goofiness endearing in many ways, and the way that he just drives Graves nuts. I love that interplay of it all, even though he kind of suffers from the same thing from time to time. But I find his, like, the excitement over the fashion files kills me for some reason.
Yeah, you know, he's very excited about that usually. I want to update some of the polls. Last week we ran a poll.
Never saw any of these polls, so I am interested to hear them.
Well, the first poll, will Kurt Angle actually wrestle at TLC? We started this poll last week when we did our TLC preview and breaking news show.
Lost one.
Yeah, they did what we at least expected with taking him out for the middle of the match, but he did a lot more than I thought he would, and I knew he would wrestle. I mean, I thought he would wrestle, and like he still did more than I thought. I mean, the German suplex bumps, the bump through the table, he did a lot more than I expected. 54% said Kurt Angle will actually wrestle. So there were a lot of people on your side thinking that, okay, there's some type of thing going on here, whether it was going to be Jason Jordan, whether he was just going to be taken out for the majority of the match and not take any bumps, who knows? But yeah, 54% did believe he would wrestle at TLC after he was announced as wrestling. Best 2018 WWE Hall of Fame headliner candidate. We're getting close to the time where we're going to start seeing rumors and hearing rumors about Hall of Fame candidates for next year in New Orleans. Best 2018 WWE Hall of Fame headliner candidate. 38% said Undertaker as your headliner for next year. 16% said The Rock, 14% Goldberg, and 32%, a real dark horse here, said Alexa Bliss.